Blog Talk Radio.
Jennifer, I
good evening. Kath, can you hear me? Kath, stay on the phone. I'm going to dial in again. Just
okay.
Stay on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, folks. Welcome to Guiding Yourself into Being. My name is Jennifer Belver, and we're wishing you a happy Thursday. We apologize for the slow start. We had a little bit of a technical glitch there in the beginning, but we hope that you heard our show opener. This is Life Coach Radio Network, and we are on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Welcome and good evening. My guest tonight is a returning guest, Ms. Kathy Steinberg. Kathy joins us from Nyack, New York, where she's an LMSW with a private practice. Kathy's website is www.wehealtogether.com, and my name is Jennifer Belver. I'm a life coach dedicated to helping folks make peace with their inner fat kid, quite frankly. I empower them to lose weight, gain confidence, and step fully into their personal power. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Well, hello.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice and all the great things you've been up to since we last talked.
Well, I'm a social worker. I have a private practice in Nyack. I also do hypnosis and healing of several different modalities. And I do hypnotherapy and meditation. So I work with a number of different modalities to help people just get clear insight and connection.
And you host? Are you still hosting a monthly meditation?
I am recently moved my office from Suffern to Nyack, so I haven't quite picked that back up yet. But I'm hoping to begin meditation groups shortly.
Well, that's fantastic, and I am happy to post that information on my website, which is www.jenniferbelver.com for our listening audience when you get those up and running. As full disclosure, Kathy and I have been colleagues now for a number of years, and I've been to multiple of her meditation workshops, and they're all fantastic. So if anyone out there in our listening audience is wanting to get their feet wet and learn how to meditate, she is the person to see. Absolutely the person to see. So welcome to the show. So I'm interested tonight to speak about forgiveness. And that's a trick, a lot of layers, a lot of complexities. So I know this is something you're really well versed in. And I was hoping you could kind of guide us through the basics to start with.
Well, you know, forgiveness in itself is, I think the most important thing about forgiveness is knowing that when you forgive, it's really about releasing yourself. You are the one that's carrying around the burden of these feelings of being, you know, a victim or wrong or damaged. So, you know, by forgiving, you release all the emotions and all this burden and the victimization that's related to whatever the offense is. Because otherwise you're the one that ends up holding the anger, the depression, bitterness and resentfulness. And the other person doesn't necessarily have any of the effect you're the one that's suffering. So forgiveness is really important for you to help release you from those burdens of carrying all of those feelings.
It's interesting you say that. When I was in my very first life coach training session, and I went to IPEC, of course, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, one of the first things our instructor told us, somehow or other forgiveness came up, and he said, you know, there's that old quote, being angry with someone is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his point was that these folks are just, you're not forgiving them, you're torn up about it, you're eaten up inside, and they're going on about their business. There's no point where they necessarily stop to think about you. It's really all about you, and it's all on you.
Absolutely.
That was actually... Go ahead.
Go ahead. There's some feedback on the line, so I wasn't sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really do apologize for anybody out there contending with any technical glitches tonight, but we are live. If you'd like to call in, I do know that line is working, 9397. But to jump right back in about forgiveness, that was a year ago, year and a half ago, and it was the first time I had ever heard that. And that is really something that sort of launched me on a trajectory of self-discovery in terms of forgiveness, in terms of just wondering, what is this doing to me, this not forgiving, this holding a grudge?
Well, I think that a lot of people think that forgiveness means that you either condone or you excuse or you forget. You know, maybe pardoning someone, or you're trying to reconcile with them. And forgiveness can be any of those things, but it doesn't have to be any of those things. Forgiveness is really an internal thing that you do, and it's really about you releasing all the attachments that something's going to trigger you and make you, as you said, drink the poison.
That's very interesting, because I did always think, I'm going to put myself right out there as the guinea pig, that to forgive someone, to walk away from the hurt and the anger and the pain and the suffering, meant that I condoned the behavior. You know,
yeah.
To me it meant, I'm saying that injury was, it was okay. When in reality, that's not what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think that that's even, you know, how we also get that from our society. You know, we think that, some kind of justice for somebody's offense, let's say it's a crime or whatever, and that's going to make us feel better, or that makes you feel some sense of, ah, I gotcha. But it doesn't make you feel better. You know, they may pay their time or do the crime, you know, whatever it is, and you don't feel any better. It's not until you forgive and want to release it that it's not important enough for you to carry for that long. Even if it's something big, you have to forgive and release it and let it go. And that helps to have a spiritual background very often that it can assist you to release it.
That's interesting. And, you know, I'm very curious. I know that you are very well versed in some holistic modalities. Do you find that any one particular modality, either meditation, hypnotherapy, facilitates that release for people?
I think that it's usually a combination. It's just a process. And so for some people, it's this momentary thing that they go, you know what, I can forgive. I'm not going to carry this, no matter how, terrible the offense and how small. And so they can let it go. And for other people, it's years and years of a process. And even if they're trying to forgive, it's difficult. And so it's a very personal thing. But I found that the modality sometimes for me and for a number of people that I've worked with is to do some calling in some of the higher powers that we work with and actually visualize handing over some of our emotions and some of our feelings and some of our attachments to them, and have, whether it be angels or ascended masters or saints or, you know, whoever it is, to turn it over to God essentially, and to let it be taken away. And that is, you know, is a big help for many people.
Yes, that is. And I will say, even for me, that is something that has worked, but only after I kind of got to that place where I was willing to let it go. And, you know, for a very long time with different things, I can honestly say, twisted as this will sound, it almost felt comforting to hold that anger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we get, you know, it kind of defines us. We have a tendency sometimes to really hang on to the emotion, because personally, I think that when your emotion is up, it feeds more emotion. And so you become, you know, the more you think about your anger and you ruminate on it, you get angrier and you get, you know, it builds. And so until that emotion passes, you have to settle some of the emotion and let your logic start to come in. And that's when you're much more able to forgive. So I say to people, think of it as a seesaw, and with one end being logic and one end being emotion. And when your emotion is up, your logic is down. And so it's one of the reasons why they say to people, don't make, you know, serious decisions when you're emotional. If you have someone who's passed away, they say don't make any great life decisions for a year. You need to give yourself time to settle some of the emotion of what's going on so that you can put your logic in. And it works the same way even for forgiveness, that while your emotion is still up, while you're still ruminating and ranting and raving, and I use the term for myself and for some of my clients, I call it the kicking and screaming stage. And so when I'm in the kicking and screaming stage about something, it's not the time to settle it. I almost have to give my emotions and listen to myself and get it all out, and then the logic can start to come in, and then I can do the work on the forgiveness.
And I think that is a phenomenal point. I think in our rush sometimes to get past the hurt, we don't allow ourselves, for any number of injuries, to, and I am going to say indulge very deliberately here, to indulge in the kicking and screaming that sort of gets all those emotions out. One thing I use with my clients is I say, you know, think about your emotions in the garden. Let's go out and weed. You have to pull the weeds up from the roots to fully deal with those emotions. You cannot just sort of come run through with the lawnmower and expect they won't grow back.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning there's no fast pass shortcut to this. So I've heard that. I've heard wait a year after someone passes. I've also heard to wait a year, which is a good advice, because it is good after a divorce or after something life-changing and life-altering with a career for some folks who find themselves let go or downsized or things. To give yourself some time. Give yourself the gift of processing that emotionally.
Absolutely. And the kicking and screaming doesn't mean that you have permission to be a ranting, raving lunatic. It is an inner state that you should reflect on, that there's going to be strong emotions. There's going to be strong swings in terms of anger or sadness, and honor that. you know, and to check in with that and let yourself process it internally, so that you can get through it and get to the place of logic.
Right, and that, I think that is just a really, it's very sound advice, it's very beautiful advice, but I also think, and this is something you and I have talked about at different points, it's allowing yourself a grace that we normally don't do. Now, what I notice is I'm quicker to forgive other people than I am to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
I hold no illusion that I'm unique, that, you know, I'm not unique, that I am unique. Excuse me, I said that backwards. I hold no illusion I'm unique. I'm pretty sure that's par for the course for many. But let's talk about that for a minute. How does or does forgiving ourselves differ from forgiving another person?
Well, I think that forgiving ourselves is we have all of those voices inside us. And I don't want us to all sound like we're mentally ill. It's true. We all have voices.
We do.
Several voices, and sometimes rooms full of voices. And so you have the voice that says that you're smart and you're pretty and you're, you know, this and you're that. And then you have the voice that says that you're stupid and you're not good enough and, you know, people aren't going to like you and you're a jerk and whatever else. And what happens is we have, for some reason, we have a tendency to feed the negative voices sometimes more than the positive. And it really is a muscle that the more you do it, the more it gains strength and it kind of takes center stage. So people who feed the positive voice have that voice speaking more clearly. And they're also the people who have a tendency to forgive themselves easier. And the people who have the negative voice or who might be self-critical, they're very judgmental then towards themselves, and they don't forgive so easy, and they hold themselves to a sense of perfection, that if I'm not good enough, and it comes, you know, some of those voices are from our childhood, they're from, you know, previous experiences that we've had, and it gets compounded the more that we give it power.
Hmm. Any advice on disempowering that voice?
Well, I think that one of the first steps towards empowering that voice for most people who, you know, start doing some self-help and, you know, self-discovery is to start working truly on being compassionate to yourself. And so we have to, and this is a thing that you can do with meditation. It's something that you can do with all kinds of self-help, you know, utilities that are out there, from YouTube to, you know, Louise Hay. It's really opening up your heart to yourself and loving yourself and letting yourself receive love and receive from the world, you know, from other people. And so that's an exercise that the more you practice that and the more you allow your heart to open to yourself and you nurture yourself and you practice self-love. That's not something that people do so easily.
No, that is absolutely very true. I think it's I think we all get to a stage in life where we go through, it's the seesaw again. We have our ups and downs where taking time for ourselves often feels too indulgent. You know, it's time away from the kids, the job, the house, the day-to-day responsibilities. And it really ties us up in a new and unique way, I think, that I will agree with you, keeps us almost enslaved to those voices, because then you can't get away and you're sort of on that endless loop where you're just, I find you can just start to really bash yourself and well, with no end in sight, really.
I think a lot of that stuff is you know, noise in your life. So sometimes we keep noise and, you know, it's like static that's in our life. So our busy schedules, our to-do lists, you know, and not that they don't need to be done, but what they do is they keep us distracted from actually truly having an interconnection and from having a knowledge of what's going on inside you. So you may be the president of the PTA, or you may be, you know, somebody who's the CEO of a company, but it doesn't, you know, necessarily mean that you know what's going on inside yourself and your own self-motivation. And so it takes a little time and effort to connect in your inner world. And, you know, sometimes that's, some people do it through prayer, some people do it through meditation. It's an important thing to do.
Absolutely. And what I find is the more time you dedicate to that, and this goes back to something you said earlier, doesn't have to be a lot of time. Small amounts of consistent time do seem to be what works the best. So even if it's a few times a week, you know, if daily seems too much and you've got too many commitments, a few times a week really, you start to get that muscle memory working, and then I notice that it comes easier. The other thing I notice is if I've been away for some period of time from my meditation practice, I do notice now that it's kind of like, you know, when you skip a few too many workouts at the gym, that first one back hurts. But before long, you know, once, twice, you're back in the swing. So really, for me, it's about the consistency. I don't know
it's
how you
very
would feel
much
about
like
that.
The gym. It's in the beginning, it can be very hard process to start or to stick with. And the more you do it, the more you kind of need the groove of it to make yourself feel like you're running, you know, on a smooth motor.
Exactly. Folks, I am going to say I am live on the air. This is Jennifer Belver, Certified Professional Life Coach, live on the Life Coach Radio Network, and I am live with my very special returning guest, Kathy Steinberg. You feel free to call in with your questions, comments, concerns. We're talking about forgiveness, and our number tonight is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And one of the things that has been interesting for me is that as I've worked on forgiveness, and as I said, I've only really been at this probably a year, being very aware of the past hurts that I was carrying around and the things that I felt were unforgivable, which of course, you know, makes you think about Harry Potter and the unforgivable curses, but that's totally beside the point. What I have noticed, actually, is that as my levels of forgiveness went up, my desire for self-care actually sort of fed right into one another, and I found it was easier to kind of maintain a healthier lifestyle in all ways, shapes, and forms, from what I was eating to actual physical exercise, to meditating. So I think I found this quite by accident. But it was almost that I don't want to say, oh, it was the magic pill that made the weight fall off, but I did notice that there was some accelerated weight loss. It was almost as though I was giving over these phantom weights back out to the universe.
Absolutely. But I think that, you know, when you're looking at, when you practice self-love, you start to feel an inner joy. You feel more comfortable. You feel, you get more balance. because the inner, you know, self-love and compassion for yourself is really what our hearts are all looking for. And where better than to yourself for yourself? So it's hard to be a loving, giving person to other people when you don't have it for yourself. So the more you practice it, the healthier your body works, the better your self-esteem gets, the better your relationships get. So, of course, your stress chemicals would go down, your body will be working better, and even exercise or your food choices will be better. So on every level, of course, you would be more likely to lose weight if you were really in balance that way.
And here I was, I totally found that out, like, just by doing it, by living it. I was like, wow, this is really good. But, and then, you know, of course, as I started to experiment with it more, and folks who are regular listeners have heard me talk about this a few times, I came back with, that's really part of our comeback, isn't it? We sort of allow the hurts in, the arrows get thrown, and we're weighed down. But when we make a conscious choice to come back and forgive ourselves and come back to ourselves, things do sort of fall into place, which I suppose goes exactly in line with what you're saying about how making the better self choices, they just become easier.
Go ahead.
No. Go. That was almost a reflex, but forgive me.
Okay, no, I would say that a classic example, if you tie this to, you know, weight and things like that, is that people who, let's say, are binge eating or they're overeating, they're eating in secret. There's plenty of people who diet all day long, and then when everyone goes to bed, they clean the closets out. And what that does is it brings on all of this self, you know, recrimination, you know, there's shame, there's a lot of things that are all the opposite of self-love. And the first thing that you need to do there is, one, to forgive yourself, start giving yourself love, stop giving your attachment to the fact that you're, you know, not perfect, and that it's okay to be fallible, and that it doesn't make you any less of a person, and start to love your body. And as you love it and you decide to nurture it and nurture your spirit, these are the kinds of things that make you walk a couple of extra steps or miles. It has you, you know, going to the gym more regularly. It has you thinking about your food choices, maybe cutting out some of the alcohol, all of the things that may be piling on the weight. And so, you know, self-forgiveness is a big part of weight gain.
Kathy, I am going to hold you right there because we have a caller on the line from the 732 area code. Caller, you're live on Guiding Yourself into Being. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm sorry I missed the first part. I couldn't get on.
Oh, that's okay. You're joining Kathy Steinberg and Jennifer Belber, and we're talking about forgiveness tonight. So what's your name?
Mary.
Mary, welcome to the show. You had questions, comments?
Yes, on forgiveness, and it's a question of, yes, you have forgiven, and I just heard what you were saying about forgiving yourself, and yeah, I think we kind of put ourselves to the bottom of that list, but yes, when it comes to forgiveness, I feel like I have forgiven.
Okay.
But my problem is it keeps popping up. So it makes me wonder, have I truly forgiven?
I personally think that since it is a process, that you will work on it. and there's some part of us that tries to take it back. And so something will also come up that may trigger the feelings again. So that means that you may have felt that you've forgiven, but you know what? We aren't completely done with it. And so it will keep coming back in order for you to clear it. I really think that it comes back almost as a gift. It tells you, you're really not as done with this as you thought. And most of us hate that with anything.
Yes.
That when we've worked on something and we think, okay, you know, I put it past me, that it's not necessarily completely with the door shut, because there still is some unresolved stuff. It's like, you know, cleaning out the room but not quite getting into the closets and the drawers. And eventually, over time, you may get to everything, but some things may come up and will trigger it.
Well, and that's it. I have journaled. I have done art therapy. I've done therapy, and it's like, what other corner have I missed here? You know, like you say, cleaning out the room.
One of the final things that come up is that whole notion that by not forgiving, by releasing this, you are making a pact with yourself that you no longer wish to carry these feelings around anymore. And so you decide that for your well-being, you are going to release this and you know, have a pure heart about it. And sometimes that, you know, to connect with whatever higher power that you have to help you with that might be useful.
One of the things I would wonder, too, if it's all right for me just to jump on in here, is have you looked at how you feel about forgiving yourself for any involvement in the transgressions? Because I know from my own personal experience, I'm speaking from now, when different things have sort of come up, and you get to that space where you start to wonder, you start to feel like you've forgiven the other person, but not you. And that's why those feelings of, I haven't forgiven and I'm not done with this, continue to return.
Well, and that's what I said when I was listening as I was holding on, and it was mentioned about forgiving yourself. Yes, it did hit a chord with me. It's like, and that may be that corner in the room I haven't gotten to yet.
Okay, so when that hit the chord, how did it make you feel?
It made me realize that that was something that I hadn't addressed. I thought I had, but I can feel that, no, I really didn't address it. I didn't let myself off the hook, we'll say.
Okay, and I think that's something that's very important. And in tandem with that, it's almost, sometimes we'll go through a situation in life and we're holding ourselves responsible, and we'll forgive ourselves. I have done this too. So again, speaking from some personal experience, you let yourself off the hook, and then as you're growing and learning and becoming more enlightened and more aware, another part of you sort of resurfaces, and you find yourself looking at the events and you think, oh, perhaps I should have known better. And so you need to re-forgive yourself from a higher playing field sometimes.
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
I also think that the core wound that I think just about every human being has is that we somehow, in the core of our being, don't always feel worthy. We don't feel good enough. We don't feel like we deserve certain things.
Well, that's what's making it come up for me now. things are wonderful, and then I look at and say, I just don't feel like I deserve it, all that I'm getting. I thank God for it, but then it's like, enjoy it, because this isn't going to last. This is, you know, you just don't deserve this.
And that's the core. When you do some more of that work for yourself, that you just answered your own, you know, that's your to-do list there, is that you can go and work at that place that helps you see just how you are this unique and amazing being of light that, you know, you first have to recognize. And then what happens is you have that seed planted and you work on that, that other people will respond accordingly to you.
I see. Yeah, I think that's why when I was listening and about forgiving myself, it was like, I think that's where it started. But as we're talking, I'm realizing that, yeah, there's some more work I have to do. Thank you.
And it's a process. And so as part of the loving part of yourself, just acknowledges that it's a process, that there's, you know, I'm an Aries, so I want everything done yesterday. So, you know, when I want to do it in 3 steps or less, it doesn't necessarily work that way. Sometimes it takes a long time, and you're thinking, oh, you know, all right already, when is this going to be over? But then once you start to honor the process, wait a minute, it's a process. I'm giving myself the permission to go through the process, that it's going to take a few, 2 steps up and 1 step back. And once you do that and you practice self-love, and practicing self-love, sometimes how I frame it for some people is, what would you be saying to someone you love, to your best friend or to your partner? What when that happened, if that happened to them, what would you be saying to them? What kind of encouraging things you'd be able to see the beauty within them and tell them what it is that needs to happen next, or, you know, how they can reframe the situation? But we don't necessarily do that for ourselves.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I understand. Thank you very much. This has given me a lot of thought. I have been working on this for a while, but like I say, this is the segment I don't think I touched, not nearly as much as I should have.
Well, Mary, I'm just going to jump in here and say, it's, don't allow that to be a new thing to sort of hold yourself accountable for, right? This is, we all get to where we need to be in the perfect time. So it could be that the work you've done, because I hear it in your voice, there seems to be a little catch there, but it could be that the work you've yet to do, you wouldn't have been able to do without the work that came before it. So you were setting
true.
The table before you could, you know, kind of serve dinner.
Yeah.
To make an analogy there. The
okay.
other thing is, I hear you saying a lot to think about food for thought. How does this make you feel?
It actually makes me feel hopeful, because I've been doing different things and feeling like I'm just never going to get rid of this. And so this gives me a new perspective, and also makes me feel hopeful that, yes, I can work this out, and because I have a new road now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sound, you sound a little more encouraged.
I am.
Wonderful.
Good
well,
for you.
I would like to offer you a complimentary session. If you so choose, you can be in touch with me. My email address is jennifer@jenniferbelber.com. So please feel free to be in touch. And I'm happy to kind of help you work around that and work around the idea of being enough. one of the programs that I run is actually a 21-day email program. And I call it the 21, I call it a campaign, actually. Because what we do in this process is we campaign for ourselves. And we look at ourselves and what we need spiritually and emotionally and intellectually to very specifically conquer some weight and body issues. But the first day's exercise is always about saying, just the way I am, right here, right now, in this moment, I'm enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I will
and I
share
have
with
done
you.
That. Excuse me, but I have done that exercise. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying it, I realized that I wasn't believing as I was doing. So that makes the difference. Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. No, I thank you so much. This has been very enlightening.
Well,
I really appreciate both of you for opening my mind.
Well, we're sending love and light to surround you in the journey of it, and you know, I'm hoping that that as you ignite within yourself the feelings of, oh, I can do this, that it'll just grow for you and it will become easy.
I definitely think it will. You've really shown me where I've been stuck, and I want to thank you both because, yes, I do feel so much more hopeful now. I was kind of wondering, you know, where is this going? And like I said, my life is wonderful right now. And but I was sitting there saying, I just don't deserve all this. And I kept thanking God, and I'm like, I don't know why, but thank you, you know. And now I feel like I can actually get into life and enjoy it once I get through this. It really is making me see that corner of the room that I wasn't touching.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can now clear and enjoy the life I have.
Well, I would like to just quickly jump in and say that I want you to keep in mind that when those big lottery winners win huge amounts of money, there's a great number of them who end up penniless and you know, worse off than if they had never. And part of that is the energy of, I don't deserve it. And so what happens is they mismanage it, they misuse it, they make it go away. And that is because of what's driving their own inner belief, whether or not they realize it. So don't do that with your life. You know, if you reflect what's going on inside is what will manifest outside. So if things are going well, then it's really important for you to acknowledge that you deserve it, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Let it flow through you and embrace it and enjoy it and give it a loving heart, because that will keep it.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I'm going to just jump in here and mention one thing. As I hear you speaking, I just want to say, remember to, one of the things that has helped me, that Kathy shared with me actually, this tactic, is just be in this moment. And so when we're just present and we're in the moment and we're enjoying the gifts that have come to us, you don't really have to plan for tomorrow and if it's going to be here. And you don't have to really dwell on yesterday and what did I do to deserve it. You're in the moment. You're with the people in the room, the situation you've created. Just enjoy the moment. And open yourself up to feeling all the joy that comes with that.
Okay. I'm actually making some notes as we're talking here. I do appreciate this help. And like I said, I really feel so much more hopeful. It's like the sun's coming up.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that
is.
That's beautiful. And I will just remind you, this call is recorded, of course, so you can always go back and re-listen if you feel like you missed something in your notes. I know sometimes when we're in the moment and we're scrambling to kind of write things down and then you think, if you ever get to the place where you think, oh, I missed that, what did she say?
Yeah.
Come on back and replay the show. It's saved here in perpetuity, and it's yours to listen to.
Wonderful. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. And please keep on doing what you're doing. It's very helpful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for calling in. And again, please feel free to reach out. I would love to offer you, like I said, a complimentary session and help you work around this issue.
Okay. Thank you again.
You're
so
very welcome.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
In.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
So that's a very interesting comment, Kathy, about the lottery winners.
It's
feeling
it's
as though they're
really
not deserving.
Really a reflection, yeah.
Huh. I had heard that many lottery winners sort of lose their winnings, and I never really made that connection.
It's the inner belief that you have. If you don't believe that you deserve it, if you don't believe that you're good enough, if you think that you got it and, you know, why me? And even though you could be woo-hoo when you get it and you're spending it, but that deep inner voice within you, that voice that carries sometimes our dirty little secrets, if that voice is saying, I don't really deserve this, you know, then that money won't stay around. That money won't be well invested. That money won't stay with you and grow. That money will disappear. It will be gambled away or it will be wasted. And so it's important to keep that inner voice speaking from a positive place.
That is extremely insightful and, of course, feeds right into our topic tonight, which is forgiveness.
Absolutely.
You know, because I do think there's a component, and I really appreciate Mary for calling in. There's a component that does question, I think, if we deserve happiness, if we deserve to feel freed of what's plaguing us.
Well, and I think that comes from so many different places. So, you know, there's several voices, one of which might be the ancestral voice that we've gotten from our parents. You know, don't be selfish and don't, you know, don't this or don't that, don't take compliments. Sometimes it's something that's passed down to us from our parents and their parents. And so that can be one of the voices in our head or many of the voices in our head. And then we have our own inner critic, and it really is the inner critic. And I always am very interested when I people watch and or I listen to people that are very judgmental or critical towards others, because to me, it's a red flag that goes right up that their own inner voice is probably times 100 or times 1,000 to themselves. And so when I hear someone who's very judgmental and very critical, I find myself just thinking compassionately about, wow, that inner voice must be really tough. And that must be, you know, because that's what's driving their engine. You can see it. It's manifesting on how they put it out to other people. So it becomes important. The more you do that self-love piece, you get softer. You get more compassionate. You get more empathy for yourself and for others.
That's a very wise point. One of the things I've read recently, I read just this fabulous book, and I'm going to totally blank on the author's name, but the title of the book was Balcony People. And it's a much older book, and it really was only about 42 pages with the table of contents and the preface and all this. Essentially, the gal makes the point that you're only going to meet two different types of people in your life. The people who stand in the balcony of your life and cheer you, and the people who stand in the basement of your life, judge you harshly, criticize you, and try to bring you down to the basement. So you're on stage and you've either got folks in the rafters cheering or folks backstage and down the stairs pulling you down with them. And one of the things she said was, you always have to offer your prayers. It was a very Christian book. You always have to offer your prayers for the people in your basement because they need them.
Mm.
Because they're in the basement because they're sad and they're heartbroken and they're really tormented by their own inner demons, which I think is what you're saying here. For folks who are judgmental, they're really being tormented by their own inner dialogue, which we as life coaches, we call that the gremlins.
But what happens is those gremlins can become your inner voice gremlin, because all you need is for a couple of judgmental people to really do a number on you. For some reason, we have a tendency, if you're not a really strong, positive, loving person to yourself, that it makes you vulnerable, because then it feeds that inner critic of your own when you have other people adding to it. So if someone says, gee, did you gain weight, or your nose is big, or whatever, you're much more susceptible to taking that in and growing the wound.
Right. And it's very hard, I know, even as I walk through my life, to forgive those people. It's so desperately difficult to forgive those people, forgive them for the comment, and move on from it.
But when you I put things in the terms of putting another frame around something. So you can look at something from a couple of different angles. You can look at it as something that's hurtful and that you have to forgive them for, or you can look at it as that some part of them is in such turmoil that they're spewing that kind of stuff out and waiting to see if, like spaghetti sticking to the wall, to see what sticks. And if you don't have a place for it to stick, then it doesn't affect you. And that, I see that in my practice all the time. I could have two people come in and be at the same party and somebody say something, obnoxious or hurtful, and one person is devastated by it, another person isn't even remotely touched by it at all because they see it for what it is. And I think that the more you practice self-love, it helps you stay out of the emotional inner critic, and it helps you be able to deflect any of the things that come from the basement.
Interesting standpoint. I like it, though. I really do. It's, coming back, the more we do these shows and I speak with clients and we have very interesting guests like yourself on, I really find when it comes to forgiveness, to boundaries, to proper nutrition, to a healthy exercise regimen, the cornerstone, the core value here is self-love.
It is. Well, basically, if you and each one of us would just take care of our own vessel, we'd have the perfect world. And so that is our first and foremost responsibility. So, not to not be a good person all the way around, but if you are loving to yourself and you take love into your heart, you give love out, you overflow with it, and therefore you are a good person to everyone else around you because you practice compassion and you feel it deeply within. So what happens is when someone is, and, this is what happens to the people in the basement, the more their cup is not filled, the more their inner critic is speaking loudly, the more it emanates out of them. That's what comes out of them. So we'd all be much a better world if each one of us practiced a little self-love and compassion first and then worked from there.
And so for everybody out there in our listening audience, that was your, if you needed permission, that was your permission to say no to the commitment you really don't want to make, you really don't have time for. It's your permission, I think, to carve out a little space for yourself each day. If that's time for a workout, time to meditate, you want some time before or after church on Sunday, go ahead and take it. And I think we, as our caller said, we put ourselves last so often when in reality that's detrimental. Not only to ourselves, but then to everybody around us. And nothing against the gentlemen out there in our listening audience, but I think for women and as women, we take on many times the responsibility for everyone's happiness and well-being and well-care in the family, our husbands, our children, our wives, our partners. So take care of yourselves first, folks. I think that's the first key to forgiveness.
I think as well, you know, it touches a little piece of what we discussed the last time I was the guest on your show. We talked about boundaries. And so boundaries are part of self-love. When you really love yourself, you have no problem making appropriate boundaries because you know that this is part of your self-care and you're not going to let someone take that away from you. And so you put boundaries in without all the emotion attached to it.
That's an outstanding point. Absolutely outstanding. And as we get there, I notice we have 3 minutes left. Well, this hour just absolutely flew by. I want to thank you, Kathy, for being a repeat guest on the show. You are absolutely welcome to join us anytime. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
I love being here, so thanks.
Our folks out there, Kathy Steinberg was my guest tonight. She is an LMSW. What does that acronym actually stand for? Because I don't know.
It's a licensed master social worker.
And mm-hmm. She has a private practice in Nyack, New York, which is in Rockland County. And you can reach her through her website, which is www.wehealtogether.com. My name is Jennifer Belber. I'm a certified professional life coach. And you can reach me. My webpage is www.jenniferbelber.com. You can also reach me through the Life Coach Radio Network homepage. So I want to thank you, Kathy, for being here. We've just a couple minutes left. Any parting wisdom to share?
I think that if anyone can focus on themselves and decide that there's work to be done, there's so many different practitioners and ways to go through the process of forgiving. And so to stay at it and keep working. And there's just, as a matter of fact, my website has a listing of different practitioners. So if someone's looking for someone to assist them, that what might be a good place to start.
Yes, and you make a great point. There's many different modalities. There's meditation, as we discussed, and I know there's many people listed on your website who host meditations, meetup groups, learn to meditate workshops. There's hypnotherapy, which you're a hypnotherapist as well, which is another really good way to get to the core of some deep-rooted kind of stuck issues sometimes.
Absolutely.
Of course, there's life coaching, there's therapy. So whatever you're dealing with, there's somebody there to help you. And I think you make a great point. None of us has to walk this path alone.
No, this is a group effort.
It is a group effort. Well, and this show was a group effort. Thank you again to Mary for calling in and sharing her time and her question. I truly believe if one person is thinking it and willing to say it, that means 100 more out there who are listening were thinking it too. So I'll thank her on behalf of all them. And I'll thank you again, Kathy. It was wonderful having you. Folks, my name is Jennifer Belber, and my guest was Kathy Steinberg. Have a great night.
Good night. Thank you.